Welcome to the Vegan Group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Jackie and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Vegan Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while our speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from our AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time, then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Lee to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
There, sorry.
You're muted.
Yeah, I know. Just a minute. Here we go.
Hello, I'm Lee. I'm an alcoholic. Okay, good. Here we go. So the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. When we were admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all our defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of persons who we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them, to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except for when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Lee. Thank you. Appreciate that. Today, we're going to hear a talk on step 11. And step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. Please give a warm welcome to Charlie F. from Reston, Virginia. Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thank you, Jackie, and great to see everyone. I am Charlie. I am from Northern Virginia, Reston, Virginia. I am an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is July 24th, 2020. And I am so grateful to be here. I love this program. I love this 12-step program. I do have a sponsor. He has a sponsor. And I'm just grateful for this program where I'm at today in my life. Reading that step 11 just now, when I read that, the one thing that stood out to me, sometimes, I think I understand words, but I'm not sure I understand words. So the first thing I did was I wanted to, it said, improve our conscious contact. And I wanted to know what exactly was meant by that word conscious, that conscious contact. And so when I looked it up, it said it's equivalent to like awareness. It's an awareness. And I thought, wow, that made sense. So step 11 is telling me to prayer and meditation to improve my awareness of my higher power. That meant a lot to me. It meant to be more cognizant, be aware that my higher power is part of my life now. My higher power is sitting next to me now. My higher power is with me. So I'm going to touch on step 11 today, and I want to focus on two areas and how it's really helped me and how I utilize it today. Because for me, step 3 and step 11 are probably the foundation of my recovery. And so I'm going to focus on how it's helped me in terms of service, and then how it's helped me today in terms of not only doing the steps, but today living the steps. And so I'm going to begin by, I'll touch on prayer first and say this. I learned to pray very early in life. Sister Margaret Mary and Sister Peter Joseph taught me when I was 7 years old as I was preparing for First Communion. I was raised Catholic. And then I went to Catholic school. So prayer was a part of my life. And of course, as I got older and drank, and prayer became foxhole prayers. And my praying was really focused on what I wanted it to be, what I needed. It wasn't what it is today. And that was prayer to me. And as far as meditation, if you could see the little Air Force background behind me, I did serve 20 years in the Air Force, and the Air Force taught me a lot of things, but one thing it did not teach me was how to meditate. And so for me, even though I prayed and during my drinking years, it really wasn't praying, and I did not meditate at all, for me, meditation was something that occurred out in the, maybe out in the India or the Far East. And so it wasn't part of my life. And then when I finally got to the point where I could not handle my drinking anymore, and I was, I remember it distinctly in July of 2020, my wife had left me. She had left me, decided to move back with my daughter. And, at that time I'd been drinking so much. COVID was in its prime. And when my wife said she was leaving, being the true alcoholic I was, I thought, well, good, now I don't have to hide my bottles or anything. I can drink openly, And so she did move out, and I stayed home for almost 30 days without her drinking continuously. And one morning I discovered, or evening, when I couldn't get up, I couldn't walk, couldn't stand up. And I thought I might have had COVID. And I asked her, I called, I said, please, you need to come home. I need help. And she did. She came back to the house and she said, we need to get you to a hospital. And I was reluctant at first, but I thought, yeah, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I could not stand up. And so she did call emergency services. They came and took me to the hospital. And while I was in the hospital, about my second day, I was in bed and in a detox unit. And they wouldn't let me get out of bed because they felt I still had problems standing up. So they had me hooked up where if I tried to get out of bed to go to the bathroom, the alarms went off and that. And it was laying in bed that second night that I said to my God, I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I said, I need help. And I said, I'm 67 years old and it's going to kill me and I need help. And I didn't realize at that time, as far as I was concerned, it was at that moment I did step 2. And I still count that as my step 2. And I didn't realize it at the time. It wasn't until weeks later that dawned on me that obsession to drink had left me at that moment, because when I left the hospital, I was told I needed help, and I was told I needed to go to a rehab facility. And so we did. We contacted rehab facilities. We selected one. They did not have a bed ready for me right away. I had to wait a few days to get a bed there. And during those few days, I did not drink. I did not really have a need to drink. And so I went to the rehab facility, and it turned out to be a really great move on my part. And I believe there was some spiritual guidance in putting me there. But it was at the rehab facility was where I learned how to meditate. That's where I learned how to meditate. And during the afternoon, they would have what we would call maybe like an elective type of class or course. And one of the courses they were offering was a meditation class, and it was being conducted by one of the chaplains at this treatment facility. And I decided, let me go to this meditation class. And it was amazing. It was, I didn't realize how simple meditation was. And I didn't realize, even in that short time that I was in that class, how much it relaxed me and put me at ease. And it was a great return on my investment going to that class. And so after 28 days in this recovery facility, which turned out to be wonderful, because not only did I learn how to meditate, but I was able to reconnect spiritually with my higher power. They had a wonderful chapel there. It was a very spiritual place, and it certainly allowed me to have that reconnection with my higher power, as well as learn how to meditate. So when I departed from the rehab, one of the things I was told when I departed was that get yourself a temporary sponsor immediately, okay? If not a sponsor, get a temporary sponsor. And so when I left this treatment facility I was going to, they already had Zoom meetings in progress for their, not only their alumni, but anyone else who wished to attend. And they were holding 3 Zoom meetings a day, 7 days a week. And the first meeting of their day was a 9 o'clock prayer and meditation meeting. And when I departed the treatment facility, I quickly became involved, quickly started attending their Zoom meetings, 3 of them a day. They had this 9 o'clock prayer and meditation. They had a 1 o'clock a read and discussion, and then 6 o'clock they had 1 hour meetings. But I started to attend the prayer and meditation meeting, and it was amazing how it impacted on my life. I was told very early that, you know, I could practice any step that began with the number 1. Immediately. I did not have to go through in sequence through all the steps. So I could begin practicing step 11 right away. And I did, although I wasn't really being new in recovery, I wasn't really focused on the step itself. It was on more on the prayer and meditation and building it into my life. And so I started to go to these morning prayer and meditation meetings. And it had it really helped me to grow in my relationship with my higher power. And it helped me in other ways too. It helped me because as I was going, by the way, when I got out of the treatment facility, I did quickly get my temporary sponsor, and he is still my sponsor today. And I did quickly find my home group. I got out of the treatment center, the Going Forward group in Ashburn, Virginia. It's still my home group. But anyway, I started meditating and praying at this 9 o'clock meeting every day. I would not miss a meeting. I'd go there every morning, pray, meditate. And it helped me so much to grow in my recovery, although I probably didn't know it at the time. So as far as how did it help me in service? Okay. Well, when I get out of treatment and that, I was going to these 3 meetings a day, plus my AA meeting, which was 6 days a week. And I was deathly afraid to share, okay? Deathly afraid to share. Back then, you know, folks would raise their hand and share. And I was scared. I didn't want to do it. I was afraid what I might say, maybe what I wouldn't say. I was afraid I'd choke, you know, in my course. And so I started working on it, okay? And And gradually I would share, and I'd be here, I'd sit where I'm sitting now, and I'd be on one of our Zoom meetings, 6 o'clock Zoom meeting, and I'd finally get the courage up to share something. I'd write it out word for word what I was going to share. And my wife would be in the other room there, and she could kind of hear the meeting going on. Finally, I'd get the courage up to raise my hand to share, and I'd give my share. And afterwards, I was done my share. I'd say, babe, did I sound nervous? She was very nice and polite. She's like, no, not really. You know, I was deathly afraid. But you know what, folks, through prayer and meditation, it started to get better. And I started to share more. Then I found myself, I would pray on, God, what do you want me to do for service? What kind of service do you want me to do? I didn't feel I was ready to sponsor anybody. I had not completed the steps. And I prayed heavily on it. What kind of service do you want me to do? And I started doing a little bit more things. I started to volunteer to watch the door on our Zoom meetings. They would co-host me. I'd watch the door. Loved it. Thought I was doing something, you know? And as I ended up, as I was doing that, I was in awe of the meeting chairpersons and hosts. I was envious of them, how they could conduct the meeting and look so at ease and so confident in doing their meetings. And here I was just letting people in the room, and I was happy with doing that. And then gradually I became kind of a substitute. I would fill in for someone who couldn't host the meeting. And then interestingly enough, then I started hosting maybe the 1 o'clock meetings because they weren't as busy. We had less people on the 1 o'clock than we did our 6 o'clock meetings. And I started getting involved in hosting our AA meetings as well. And I started to feel a little bit more confident in getting involved in doing the meetings. And then in July of 2020, I was becoming more active in the program. And in July of 2020, our treatment facility, who was running these Zoom meetings, quickly announced, we're doing away with them. We're going back to in-person alumni meetings. So we're going to do away with our Zoom meetings. Wow, there was an uproar. And me and another lady, we reached out to the treatment center. We said, you can't do this. There's too many people. We were getting 50 people on our meetings at 6 o'clock from around the country, some even out of the country. And we said, you really can't do this. And after a couple of days, they contacted me and woman. They said, we heard you. And we said, this is what we want you to do. And we said, we want you to form a virtual alumni chapter of our treatment facility. And we will pay for the Zoom room. And you have to write a charter. It has to be approved by us. And no longer will any of our employees be hosting or running the meetings. It has to be done entirely by the alumni, the folks. And we said, okay, we'll do that. And I took a lead in that. And then I thought about it. And one day, I don't remember what day it was, but one day I kind of smirked to myself. And I thought, okay, God, now I see what kind of service you want me in now after praying on it for so long. It dawned on me. And so this was in July of 2021. And we did what we were asked to do. We wrote the charter. We got it approved. We formed this virtual alumni chapter. And in December of that year, I became elected the first president of the chapter. And I held that role for a little over a year until we held another election. But I still very active in that chapter and still maintain an advisory role. So that was my first exposure to service in that. And then it grew on service. My service grew and prayer and meditation played an equally important part in it. And I'll share this, my last bit of the service thing. Recently, I was invited 3 weeks ago to a woman invited me. She says, I'm celebrating 1 year in recovery. Would you please come and have dinner with my family and some friends and then come to my home group and see me get my 1 year chip? And she lived north of Baltimore. I'm in Northern Virginia. And she says, we're having dinner at 5:30. And I said, absolutely. Thank you for asking me. And I did go to it. It was a 2.5 hour journey, but I got there in time for dinner. And it was a wonderful to meet this woman's family. I'd met her husband before, but to meet her and her in-laws were there and some friends were there and to have dinner with them. And then while we were having dinner, I received another phone call It was from another woman, and she was disturbed about our meeting, our 6 o'clock meeting that was going on. She was concerned about something, and that wasn't right on the meeting. And I shared with her, I really couldn't talk now, but I would look into it and get back to her. And so when we went to this woman who was celebrating 1 year, we left that dinner, we went to her home group where she was sharing. I ran into someone who was on the 6 o'clock meeting. I asked him, I said, was there any problem with the 6 o'clock meeting? He said, no, it was fine, great speaker. I thought, okay. And I thought, I'll reach out to the woman who called me during dinner and I'll find out what was going on. So meanwhile, at the home group meeting, this woman gets her 1 year chip and she's sharing her story, beautiful story. And they said, you know, who would you like to call up next to speak? And she said, my sponsor. And her sponsor came up and shared. And then after the sponsor shared, she said, who would you like to call up now and speak? And she said, my husband, and see him come up and share. And finally, she said, next after her husband, she said, who now? And she said, I'd like Charlie to come up and share. Touched me deeply, folks, deeply. And that's what prayer and meditation had done for me in service. But to leave it. So anyway, on my way home from Baltimore that evening, after going to a home group, I reached out to this woman who called me during dinner time. And I said, you know, I reached out to some folks and they said there was no problem on the meeting. I'm not sure what, well, she had completely forgotten that she had called me. She was very intoxicated. And I got home that night and I laid in bed and I prayed. And I prayed for the woman who was celebrating 1 year. And I prayed for the woman who was intoxicated who had called me. And what was the ironic thing about this was that both those women, the 1 year one and the one that were intoxicated, knew each other very well. They had both been in the treatment facility at the same time. And here a year later, one was celebrating, one who embraced the program, and the other one who struggled and still thinks she can do it on her own was highly intoxicated. So prayer played a very, very important role in my, and prayer and meditation in my ability to do service and continues to do that. And now as far as the 12 steps became, my first time through AA, I balked. I was one of those balkers when it came to 4 and 5. I was afraid, you know. And so this time I made up my mind, no, I wasn't going to do that. And I got through steps 1 and 2. I shared which I did step 2 in the hospital. Step 3, when it came time to step 3, I was kind of struggling a little bit in terms of who is my God? Is it Jesus? No, he's the Son of God. Is it Muhammad? Is it, you know, Buddha? Is it Jehovah? Who is my God? And I was struggling with this. And finally, my sponsor said, Charlie, quit analyze and utilize. And I thought, okay, that makes sense to me, you know. And so I was able to, step 3 became so important to me. And in large part through meditation. It was through meditation. And I remember specifically listening to a meditation because we do audio meditations. And this gentleman that we were listening to said, he's talked about awareness. And he said, to be aware of being aware. That was awareness. And he went on to speak about the true self, our true self. And he said, our true self was never born, is not subject to death. The true self, that which many spiritual traditions call the soul. In Eastern wisdom, traditions, when they speak of the true self, they also know that it's ancient, it's unborn, fire cannot burn it, wind cannot dry it, weapons cannot shatter it. This is not in space nor in time, but is our eternal home. And that really resonated me. And I mean, it really made me have a better understanding of my life here on earth and in terms of my soul, which my soul, I knew at that moment I was only here in a temporary place and that ultimately my soul would live on and on. And it really helped me to better understand my relationship with my higher power. It also kind of really quite honestly eliminated any fear of death with me because I knew this was only a temporary stopping off place. But that was an example of how it helped me also in doing the steps. And I got through step 3, and while doing step 3, continued to pray and meditate. And step 3 was important for me because steps 1 and 2 came relatively easy. But step 3, it said, made a decision. That really stood out for me. I was now making a decision to turn my life and will to the higher power, my God. And that meant I had to change my life. I had to change my life. I could no longer do Charlie's will. You know, as I heard a gentleman share recently, he said, you know, step three, it's in these steps, it's very simple. It's called what? Shrink ego, grow God. And that's really what it was about. And so through prayer and meditation, I was able to get through that, that balking I did in steps and the first time through. I was able to overcome that. And what came to me over and over and over again was how it works in the big book. And I kept coming to mind, this is, you know, but this is a simple program. This is a simple program, not an easy program. It's a simple program. And I kept telling myself, Charlie, quit making it difficult. Quit making it difficult. And so I was able to do steps 4 and 5 with my sponsor. I was quite relieved after I had done them, very relaxed, and went on to do steps 6 and 7, all the while praying and meditating along the way and making it an extremely important part of my recovery. And, you know, there is a portion in the 12 and 12 on step 11 in the 12 and 12 book, but it's not in step 11. It's in the step 12 part of the book. And for me, it explains exactly how I handle, how I treat step 11 in my recovery. And it says in step 12 of the 12 and 12, it says, in step 11, we saw that if a higher power has restored us to sanity and had enabled us to live with some peace of mind in a sorely troubled world, and such a higher power was worth knowing better by as direct contact as possible. The persistent use of meditation and prayer, we found, did open the channel so that where there had been a trickle, there was now a river which led to sure power and safe guidance from God, as we were increasingly better able to understand him. And that's from step 12 into 12 and 12. And that just really kind of struck me and resonated with me. And I thought, that's it right there in a nutshell. This prayer and meditation affords me the opportunity, because what I discovered, and I always discover new things. I love this 12-step program. But I found out that this 12-step program, for me, it's a partnership with me and my God. And for me, in order to have that partnership requires communication. And any kind of partnership, whatever it is, whether it's with the spouse or anyone, it requires communication. That is certainly true with me and my higher power. And for me, that communication comes through prayer and meditation. And it allows me to grow in my recovery. And I've had things happen to me as I went through my recovery and you know, I mentioned earlier about step 12, conscious means that awareness that God's part of our lives. And it's amazing how this program comes back to me at times. I remember early on in recovery, I'll share this with you. I played softball in a league, and I had a game this morning. But we have our picnic and our All-Star games in July. And one year, the president league said, Charlie, would you be willing to drive, rent a truck and go pick up some tables and chairs from the county that they're going to lend us so we could have our pay? I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So I rented a U-Haul truck and I had to drive to the Fairfax County warehouse to pick up these tables and chairs with the U-Haul truck. And I got there early and I'm looking around where to park. And I thought, let me turn the truck around this way. And in doing so, I tried to get the truck through a narrow turn. And I wasn't successful, okay? And there was a beautiful brand new Honda right there. And the truck rubbed up against the Honda, not rubbed, it really did more than rub, but it scraped the Honda's driver's side rear fender there right by the tire, really did some damage to it. And I backed out of it and I was really upset. And I'm looking around, and I was fairly early in my recovery, and I'm looking around, and there's nobody around. I'm thinking, why don't you, you can back out of here. You know, this is a little bit of my New York upbringing, by the way. You can back out of here, you know, and nobody might even know what. And I thought, wait a minute. No, you made a decision to turn your life and will over to God. You made a decision to change. And I said, you're not doing that. And I parked the truck. I walked into one of the buildings. I said, can I borrow a pencil and paper from you? And they gave it to me. And I went back out. I wrote my name and number, left it on a gentleman's windshield. And that was it. And I thought, when I got home, I thought, I'm going to be honest with you, I was frightened. I thought, this guy's going to be pissed off with me, you know. And the gentleman called me, and he was friendly as could be. He could not believe I left my name and number there. And we talked. I mean, he was retired Navy, and I was retired Air Force. And we talked and that, but it was what this program had done to me and what it had given me. And so even today, I mean, prayer and meditation are such an important part of my life. I do still meditate, and I host two of the meditation meetings in our 1 and 9 o'clock meetings and prayer. I try to say a mystery and a rosary every day. That's, you know, just that's part of my prayer. In addition to that, when I wake up in the morning, I do ask God to not let me drink. And I tell God, and I'm honest with him, I said, God, I can't do it. I need you to not let me drink, because I tried it for a long time and it didn't work. And I said, also, God, will you doing that for me? Please don't let me have any desire or urges to drink as well. And that's my morning prayer. And then before I go to bed, I thank him, and I said, thank you, Lord, for keeping me sober this day. And thank you for not getting any urges or desires or cravings to drink. And so prayer and meditation are extremely, extremely important part of my life. And they continue to be. And as I said earlier, steps 3, steps 11, they are the foundation of my recovery, because I made that decision, step 3, to turn my life and will over to God. And it's a, you know, as I shared earlier, and I'll leave it with this, you know, I decided in step 3, turn my life and will over to God. And God said, okay, Charlie, that's fine. But oh, wait a minute, before you do that, you need to do something. You need to go look at those character defects and get rid of them, or try to get rid of them. And so I had to go on and do steps 4 and 5. And that was okay, because then the next step, 6 and 7, was my turn to say, hey, God, I did that. Will you take this away from me, please? And so it's a partnership for me, this program. It's a beautiful partnership with my higher power. And certainly an important part of that is step 11, that communication, prayer and communication. So I hope I was able to share something with you all today. Thank you so much for asking me. This has been a wonderful experience and blessing for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Charlie.